session. So without further ado, can I ask Mark Beckett from Secure 64 to come up and tell us about his company's offerings?
Thank you for having us here today. My colleague Joe Gersh was originally scheduled to speak to you today about what Secure 64 is doing in the area of automation of DNSSEC. Unfortunately, he's unable to join us in the family emergency, so I'll be presenting in his absence today. I was here for the last session, and I heard a number of people talking about some of the challenges that they faced in deploying DNSSEC within their environments, whether they're a top-level domain or perhaps a registrar with a large number of customers. So I'd like to share in this presentation a little bit about what we're doing to automate DNSSEC and make it easy for folks to deploy, but also share a little bit about what we've learned in building our own product as it specifically relates to the challenges that top-level domains, service providers, and registrars face in deploying DNSSEC within their own environments and for their customers. So a while ago, probably about the beginning of this year, Secure 64 set out to build a commercial product, knowing that DNSSEC was important, but that it was not going to achieve any kind of widespread adoption until and unless we could really address some of the key challenges that have been so far holding back companies from adopting and deploying. And I don't necessarily just mean at the TLD level, but in fact into the commercial environment as well, into enterprises, for example, where they may not have the knowledge or the expertise to deploy given the state of tools today. So we set out to essentially solve a number of problems. First of all, this issue of complexity. Make it easy for anybody, whether you're a TLD or whether you're a small enterprise, to deploy DNSSEC within your environment without having to become expert in all of the underlying technologies and cryptography that are required. And the second objective was to do it in a way that was very, very secure so that we didn't run the risk of having keys compromised and so forth, and we could keep those keys safe online, and I'll talk about why that's important in just a moment. And then sometimes I think we lose sight of the fact that, you know, to really deploy this in a way that is easy to manage, you have to address issues around manageability and auditability so that whoever is deploying DNSSEC knows at all times what the status of that deployment is, what zones are about to be signed, what's the status of the keys that are being used to sign those zones, when are they set to expire, am I in any trouble of having a key expire before the rollover is complete. And the last issue, which I think is especially important to this audience, is this issue of scalability. How do you handle very large numbers of zones? We had the gentleman from Lupia here talking about having several hundred thousand zones. That is a very different problem than signing a zone. And TLDs have a different problem where you have maybe a small number of zones, but they're huge. They can be huge. And that presents some interesting challenges as well that I'll talk about. So we actually built and announced a product earlier this year called Secure 64 DNS Signer that was really attempting to address each of these key issues, the issue of complexity, the need for security, auditability and manageability, and scalability. And I think that we have really been able to solve these particular challenges. And I think as time goes on, some of the other tools that you've heard people talk about as well, you've already heard some of the plans of others to address these very same issues. So we're all trying to solve the issues that so far have been holding back widespread deployment of DNSSEC. But let me just briefly talk about what the product is and then what we learned in the process of writing the software. So the first goal was really to make this very easy for anybody to deploy. And the simplest way that you can deploy this is by simply turning on or adding a single line to a configuration file that basically says, I want to deploy DNSSEC within the set of zones that are under management of the signer product. And in doing that, we use all the built-in best practices for things like key algorithms and key sizes and rollover periods and so forth. All of those best practices can also be overwritten if you wish and have the knowledge and expertise to do so. You can override that signing policy in the configuration file itself. From there, the signing product actually takes over and handles all of the activities that would be required to deploy DNSSEC, including key generation, key rollover, zone signing, and re-signing as your signature intervals come due, helping to propagate that DS record from the child to the parent if you have a signed parent. And this is all with a goal of allowing people to deploy DNSSEC in a much shorter period of time and without the level of expertise that it's taken to do so today. In terms of architecture, we mostly encounter something that looks like this today, where an existing organization will have some kind of provisioning system, whether it's a registry system, an IP address management system, or whether you're simply using a hidden master today, and you have some slaves that are visible to the internet, whether you're running Bind or NSD or other commercial products. The objective here was to be able to put the signing engine directly into that existing infrastructure to allow people to deploy DNSSEC without having to completely change their current DNS architecture. So we have the unsigned zone data coming in from the left, either through a copy of the zone files or more traditionally, more typically, through a zone transfer of some kind. And all of the signing activities, all of the keys, all the key management are handled on the signing box itself. And the signed zone data can then be transferred to the slaves, again, either using AXFER or IXFER. So it's a very unobtrusive way of introducing DNSSEC into that environment. So let me talk about what did we learn in the process. One of the first questions we had to answer was, who are we designing this product for? And if you look at sort of the bell-shaped curve of distribution of types of DNS environments, what you find is they run from one extreme to the other. So on the left-hand side of this graph, we have a typical large service provider or registrar who might have potentially hundreds of thousands of zones, and they might all be fairly, fairly small zones. Again, the gentleman from Lupia is a very typical example. That presents one set of challenges. On the other side of the equation, you might have a very large top-level domain with only a few zones. Those zones can be huge and contain millions of records. And then, of course, most of the normal enterprises and smaller service providers fall somewhere in between. Our design goal in building the product was to design for the extremes on the right and left-hand sides of this chart. Because if you can solve the problems of the large ISP or the large top-level domain, then you can handle anything that's happening in between. But there's one more dimension that was important to this graph, and that is the frequency of change of the data. So as we not only looked at the amount of zones, the amount of records to be signed, but what happens when you start changing that data, that presented a whole lot of additional design challenges here. If you have dynamic data, data that's changing every minute, you must push that data out to the slaves in a very short period of time. Sometimes the duty cycles are less than 1 minute. So we had to tackle all of these challenges in building the product, and the good news is we were able to do so. Some of the gentlemen before me talking about challenges in putting dynamic data out with very large zones. Actually, NSEC 3 with opt-out is very helpful in allowing us to meet the duty cycles, even of a very large domain that is changing frequently, and you've got to get those updates out, say, in less than a minute. So I'll be available for questions, I guess, on the panel discussion afterwards. 5 minutes go by quickly.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. We now have Petter Pettersson from Men and Mice.
Is this one or So hello, I'm not Peter, I'm Mark Karsten, but from NMICE. Due to time constraints, we decided that I run the demo, so we spare the time to introduce both of us. So very short, I will present what we do in the field of DNSSEC, which is a little bit different than maybe others like Secure64, but we complement each other, I would say. Short about NMICE, we are a Scandinavian company founded in Iceland in 1990. We work in the field of DNS since 1994. We started, oddly enough, to be the first to write a usable DNS server for the macOS Classic operating system back then. But since then, we do DNS management for a bind-based Unix system, for Microsoft Active Directory integrated system, and we have a unique approach that we are non-intrusive. We don't replace these systems, we sit on top of them. So we don't have our own DNS service anymore. We use industry standard service, so to speak. We do also IP address management, and we have a large customer base. This is the architecture of our system, and we especially focus on usability, that is easy to use tools and one task interfaces for workers, for people who are not really trained to understand all the issues of DNS or even the issues of DNSSEC. So on the top we have the management console, which is our graphical GUI interface. We also have a command line interface, a Java and a .NET API, and we have a web browser interface that all goes into the what we call the NMICE Central, that keeps all the data, all the zone data, all the configuration data that's needed, for example, all the parameters for key signing when we speak about the DNSSEC. And then we have the data layer, where we have a database with where we have all the parameters, but not the DNS data, because the DNS data we always keep on the servers. So we get all the authoritative data always from the servers, which gives us the possibility to always display in the tool the live data as it is in the network. So we don't see then data coming from some database which might be out of sync of what's real in the network. Instead, we see what's live on the DNS servers out there. This is the architecture, how DNSSEC comes into place here. We have the DNSSEC key management on the side, which is not a component we supply. Instead, it can be plugged in. So you can use, and we probably see that on the next slide, the way how a new zone or new change goes to the system is that we can plug in with tools like OpenDNSSEC, like the ZKT toolkit,